This is Cry Justice with Judy Redlich, examining issues of importance to you, your family, and our community that the other media just won't cover. Now, here's Judy Redlich.
He started stealing when he was 8 years old. At 12, he moved in with a young lady, and by 15, he was a father and wondering how he's going to support his family. We're going to hear a tragic story about Stephen, but how God has taken Stephen's life and totally changed it around because a pastor and his church cared. I'd like you to meet Pastor Jerry Powell. He's the pastor of Living Water Bible Church in Branson, Missouri. Pastor Powell, thank you so much for joining me for today's edition of Cry Justice.
It's a privilege to be with you, Judy.
You know, Pastor Powell, when you called me about Stephen and told me his story, I said, oh, we need to let other people know that there is hope and that God can take a life that seemed to be hopelessly down the wrong path.
Absolutely.
And in prison and just change it totally.
Absolutely.
So, tell us a little bit about Stephen. Give us some insights on how you all got involved.
Well, Stephen grew up in inner Kansas City. He was born actually of rape. He's born into a family that the stepfather who came in because he wasn't his own kid really didn't have much to do with him, and he ended up being abused both physically, emotionally, and sexually during the course of his time in his family. You started out by stealing at the age of 8, and the reason why, because after talking to Stephen, he had mentioned that there were times that they would go in and there would be absolutely no food in the house. And so he would go out as an 8-year-old boy and steal for food just so that he could have something to eat. He was talking to his brother not too long ago, and as a matter of fact, it was from a radio broadcast, and his brother had listened to him a couple of weeks ago. It was a neat opportunity to share Christ with his brother for the first time.
Wow.
And his brother said, you know, he said, that's true. He said, and my whole growing up, I never, ever remember having 3 meals a day.
Oh.
That was never the case in our home. So you have this young boy born of rape. His stepfather didn't want anything to do with him. And at the age of 8, he learned that the only way that he could satisfy that hunger in his stomach was to steal. But as you know, Judy, he had a hunger far deeper than just the physical hunger.
That's true.
He expressed to me many times, he said, I've never, ever had anyone hug me, tell me they loved me. And so consequently, he was in and out of trouble. All during his life. In fact, he only received a fifth grade education. He was in trouble that much in school. And he began to live on the streets. His mom was really frightened of her husband at that time. And so Stephen said that many times he would go and be out all night, and parents never asked why or where. And he said, I come in all hours of the night. And he said, they didn't care. And at the age of 12, going on 13, he moved in, if you can believe this, with a girl. And he lived with her for 3.5 years, Judy. And during that time, he fathered his first child at the age of 15. And all during this time, I had asked him about that. I said, Stephen, what prompted you that? And he said, Jerry says, I didn't know at the time because no one ever told me about Jesus. He said, God and Jesus was nothing more than cussing in my house. But he said, I wanted so much the security of someone to love me. And I didn't find it at home. I didn't find it in any other relationships. I was kicked out of school. He said, so I found it in a girl. And consequently, at that young age, he fathered a child. And he said, who in the world is going to hire a 15-year-old boy in Kansas City with enough money to support a girl and a baby? And so he said, consequently, from that time on, he began to be in and out of even that relationship, and one thing led to another, and he began to steal because he got introduced to drugs by a family member. And he began to smoke marijuana at the age of 12, and before he was 16, he was addicted to crack cocaine. So he continued to steal to support his habit. And he said, in fact, there have been several times that he said in street fights. In fact, he showed me he's got scars all on top of his head where he'd been beaten over with a baseball bat.
Oh man!
In fact, one time someone had come up to actually shoot him, and he wasn't there and shot his stepfather. So this is the life this kid lived as he lived in inner Kansas City. And all the time he said everything he looked for, even in the drugs, even in the relationships, in the stealing, he was trying to find security and an answer. And he said I could never ever find it. And finally, he was arrested, caught for stealing, and he was thrown in Boonville. And there he served in Boonville for a while. He went out on probation. But as he went out on probation, he went right back to the family and friends. That's all he knew. And he got busted a second time and was thrown back in a second time. And all during this time, he said no one had ever, ever, ever shown him the love of Christ. He said at that time, even his family members, they would not write him, they would not visit him, they would not have anything to do with him. And so he said, basically, he said, I was so frustrated, so empty in my life. He said, I really, literally did not want to go on. He got out of Boonville after breaking parole two times, Judy, and his mom had moved to St. Joe, Missouri. By this time, she was in with a second live-in.
Mm.
And so he said he went up to St. Joe, and he continued to steal. This time he broke into two homes, and he was caught, and because he did this on probation, he landed him in one of our C4 prisons here in the state of Missouri. Well, they sentenced him with two sentences. One is a 7-year sentence, and the next one is a 9-year sentence. And here's a 21-year-old man now thrown in prison. And absolutely has no meaning or purpose in life, and everybody classified him as a failure. I mean, he was in prison and jail more than he was out, and he had nothing concrete in his life, not anything whatsoever. But somebody in a jail ministry, Judy, as he was waiting to go into prison, you know, sometimes you're in jail for 3 or 4 months before the court hearing, then you go into the prison itself. A gentleman came with a Bible and sat down with Stephen and shared with him the love of Jesus Christ for the first time.
Wow.
And Stephen said, I've never heard it. I never understood about the Son of God and the cross and forgiveness. And he said, I felt so unworthy. He said, you have to understand. He said, I never experienced a Father's love in my life. And to say suddenly now there's a Heavenly Father that loved me, he said, I had a hard time comprehending that. But he said the Holy Spirit really began to work through this man. And he said as the visit went on, he said the Word of God began to come alive to him. And there in that jail cell, Stephen knelt down and he prayed and he asked Jesus Christ to come in his heart, to forgive him of his sins. And that began a road of total deliverance and recovery. But here's the uniqueness, Judy. Stephen was not aware of what had happened just a few months earlier because his mother had accepted Christ outside. And she began to pray for the salvation of her son, Stephen. As a brand new Christian herself, she began to pray for her son. And she sent him his very first Bible as a gift. And not realizing he just prayed to receive Christ. She sent him a Bible. So let me tell you something, Judy. I've known this man. I talk with him daily. And he spends now no less than 3 to 4 hours a day in the Word of God. The Word of God is like his second speech pattern. The scriptures just roll off his tongue as he talks. He has a firm grip on the Word of God, and the blessing on all of this is that he went to prison with a fifth grade education. He's now getting his GED, and the teachers have said he's moved up to a 12th grade reading level, and I asked him about that. I said, do you attribute that to the classes or the teaching? He goes, no, Jerry. He says, I taught myself to read out of the Word of God. That's how I taught myself, was reading the Word and memorizing Scripture. Stephen, God totally delivered him off of crack cocaine. He said he had no withdrawals. God took him off immediately. And as he was sent into prison, his mother contracted a terminal illness, and there she died.
Mm.
And Stephen said, you know, I fell so much in love with my mom during those few brief years. And he said, in humiliation, he said they had to lead me with shackles of chains around my ankles and my wrists so I could walk by my mom's casket one last time to say goodbye. But he made a statement to me. He said, Jerry, you know, I had to go to prison to find my freedom. And he said, I found freedom in prison. And that freedom knows no barriers, and that freedom is Jesus Christ. Stephen's become a role model there at the prison. He's on role model status out of a prison of 2,000 inmates. He leads people to Christ. He's a witness to the men there. They come to him for counseling. And as we begin to see him grow and to blossom, I had led a friend to the Lord that was getting ready to go into prison. And so when he went up there, happened to be in the same prison Stephen was in, didn't know Stephen at the time. This was about a year ago. I began to go up there occasionally to do some discipleship work with this young man I'd led to Christ. And as I began to do this, he got involved in the Bible study there in the prison and got introduced to Stephen. And one thing led another, he introduced me to Stephen. And then Stephen never had anyone to ever actually hear his story.
Mm-hmm.
And he latched on. We began a very close counseling. See, our church right here, in fact, is the line you're calling on, into my home, our church has a council line that inmates can call from the prison right into my home.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Anytime. And we use this phone for counsel, for encouragement, to pray with the inmates. It's been, in fact, it's been a lifeline for a lot of these inmates. But Stephen in particular, it's been a joy to watch this young man blossom. And I tell you, this is precious because he fathered that first child that I told you about when he was 15. That boy's name is Stephen. He so much wanted to see his son. And this past February, we managed to locate his son and reunited him with his daddy.
Isn't that amazing?
Stephen went down to the prison, got to visit with his dad. They have established a concrete relationship.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And Stephen said, my whole heartbeat is to see my son now come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And it has opened up a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful door. You just wouldn't believe this young man. I wish I could just take this young man and let him be an example to so many folks, because he's such an encouragement to people who aren't even in prison, need to hear the encouragement. And you know what he said, Judy? He said, to show you how real this guy is, he said, if I never got out of prison, he said, I will continue to minister the gospel to men in here. And he said, but God has laid something tremendous on my heart. And he said, I want to do something to repay back society. And that's the term, of course, he's used to hearing all the time. And he began to pray, and this is what God has laid on his heart. He has a vision of seeing a Christian halfway house being built that would accommodate about 25, 30 to 40 men at a time who are getting out of prison, that they would come to the halfway house for a period of 8 to 10 months. There at the halfway house, they would begin to get a foundation of biblical training, biblical teaching, as well as establishing them and finding them a job and car, teaching them in how to handle finances, if they haven't got their education, helping them with the GED, all under a Christian base. Because Stephen said, look, he said, the reason why I kept coming back into prison, he says, prisons don't rehabilitate you. You know, they use the term correctional center,
right.
But he said, there's nothing correctional about it. He says, until you have a change on the inside of your life, he says, you can stay here for years and years and years. He said, most men end up coming right back, because they go right back into the same environment. They have no foundation to build their life on, and there's no change in their heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He says, you have to have a change. And punishment alone doesn't change the heart. He says, because he says, my dad beat me over the head with a baseball bat. That didn't change my direction. He says, but when I had a change in my life, he says, I want to be able to see that happen as men get out, that we can present the gospel. And he said, and then to do a rehab center on that same ground for abused kids. Stephen's got such a tender heart for kids. You talk to him about kids being abused, and he'll weep on the phone. His heart is so full of compassion because he grew up being abused. And now he says, Jerry, in fact, when he stood before the judge up in St. Joe, Missouri, even the lady that one of the houses he broke into, she begged with the judge. She said, please don't send him to prison. If we can just get him to a Christian-based rehab center of some sort. Because the judge said no. And Stephen remembered that. Now his heart is, he said, look, you know, if Jerry, if we could have a rehab center that would minister to abused young people who are headed towards prison, headed towards crime, who come from abusive situation, if we can get them into a beautiful setting of 100, 200 acres with professional counseling under biblical-based teaching, he said, Jerry, we can turn those lives around before they go to prison, before they do something that would be very serious in crime. And he said, therefore, he said, we would slow down some of the rate of young people coming into the prison by turning them around. And plus, then he goes on to say, but then we want to see a family life conference center on this ground. He said, a family life conference center where, and this is where the vision, because he was reunited with his son, came about. He said, Jerry, he said, a lot of these men getting out of prison go back to the same rotten environment.
Right.
The homes and kids who haven't seen their daddies now for years. There's a strain in the relationship. He said, Jerry, what would happen at this Christian outreach center as these men are growing in the Lord, preparing to go back into society, that we would have a family conference center with cabins? And he said, with these cabins, he said, we can actually reach out and make contact with these ex-offenders' wives, sons, and daughters. Bring them down for a weekend, once a month or every other weekend, and there they would be able to stay in the cabin with their husband and their daddy for a whole weekend to get a new relationship reestablished for the first time. And then with the family conference center, then we would go and teach these families about a biblically based family value system. So now when the inmate goes back home, he's just not going to go back home rehabilitated and knowing Jesus Christ, but he's now got job skills, he knows how to handle finances, and now he knows how to be a Christian daddy and a Christian husband with the children and the wives who have also had that training. It's a beautiful concept. And he began to pray. He said, God, I really feel this is something you want me to do, and if I have to stay in prison or direct behind prison walls, I'll do it behind prison walls. And so it touched a lot of our hearts out here, Judy, in our church, because we have adopted this young man, and we pray, we love him so much. We want to see him really make it.
And now he has aunts and uncles and a new mother and a new father because you all have adopted him at Living Water Bible Church.
That's right. You see, he has he had said to me once, he said, I wish I had a mom, dad. He said, you know, a lot of the inmates up here talk about their moms and dads, and they talk about their relatives. But he said, the only relatives I've had either introduced me to drugs or won't have anything to do with me. And he says, I cannot go back to them. And he said, now my mom's dead. I've never had a dad. Didn't know what it was like. We had a family in our church that said, you know, we've been praying for a son. And this sounds like what Jesus taught us about going into high prison and what you do unto the least of these, you do unto him. And so I introduced them to him. They connected immediately. He was so overjoyed. He now calls them mom and dad. In fact, at our church, he had ordered flowers and a teddy bear on Mother's Day. So when she came into our church, it caught her off guard.
That's really neat.
Here's the teddy bear from her son in prison. And now she says, literally, this is my child. We have, I think you may even have talked to Dee. She has become the aunt and her husband, Jerry, the uncle.
That is really neat.
They go up there every 2 weeks, bring home-cooked meals. And he says, I now, for the first time, have a family. And he says, you know, I'm not going to return back to crime. Number one, because I have Jesus. Number two, now I have stability and a Christian family to go back home to that really, really, really love me. I asked him, you know, he's looking forward to Christmas. He's 29 years old, and he said, I only remember getting one Christmas present my entire life. That's when I was 16. And he said, that's the only time, he said, I've never gotten a birthday gift.
Mm.
And he and his aunt and uncle have already bought him Christmas gifts and storing them up for when he would get out. And it's just a real precious, precious thing. But we've now established a board. The ministry has started. He's directing from inside the prison walls, but it's called New Direction. We've just got our federal tax ID number, and we're moving ahead. Now we are praying that God will lay on somebody's heart in the state of Missouri at least to donate 100 to 200 acres that we can start the process of this outreach center.
It's a Christian halfway house. The New Direction Ministries, they got the Family Conference Center. And just think about how Stephen's life, even though it was messed up in the beginning, could help others get their lives together and help them from becoming shipwrecked in this world of chaos and struggle. Now, Pastor Powell, as we look at this whole situation, where does Stephen stand now as far as parole?
You see, we have to, and I want you to know that the Bible teaches to respect those in authority over you, and you work with that. And the correctional, I'm not going to name their name, but the correctional institution he is in, I will say, it's a tremendous thing what they're allowed to do with the Bible studies and the way they've allowed the visitations and the counseling. They are very good to work with. And but I'll have your listeners pray for Stephen because he has finished his first sentence. He's now started his second sentence. He would go up for his parole hearing in October of 2004. It's the year from October. And there are just some other things that we're looking at on a legal standpoint. So we're praying that God would open up that door for him to receive an earlier release than what's planned. And of course, I'm kind of tied not to give a whole lot of details on the phone. And I know you can understand why, but I do know that God knows, and your listening audience that I understand has such a tremendous burden for prison reform and what's going on. If they would pray for Stephen, and then pray that God would grant us and the attorney wisdom and discernment on how to handle this. As I said, Stephen's for real, and he's admitted to, I'm here because I deserve to be in here. I did what I did. But he said, you know, what a tremendous asset to see this young man out. And, you know, Judy, here's the problem. I've talked to several senators. I've been in Jefferson City, and I've talked to some different legal advisors, and I keep hearing this same term. Well, how can you know he's really had a changed life? Because they're con artists. Mm-hmm. I hear this all the time. And it's sad that you have to stereotype an individual. You know what I said to a politician? I said, well, are you stereotyped? What does society call you when you say you're going to be running for public office? And they laughed. They said, well, they call us, they can't believe us and we're liars. That's what the society calls me. And I looked at one of the politicians. I said, well, are you a liar? He goes, absolutely not. I said, you ran on your own merit. You didn't run on a category. You ran on your own individual merit. And I said, you can't categorize Stephen with everything else. You've got to judge the man on an individual merit. And that is on the change. Steve, this outreach center, he phrases this as, I want this to be my gift back to the state of Missouri.
That's wonderful.
To give this to the people and the young people of the state of Missouri from me so that they don't make shipwreck of their lives. Now, if that's not an evidence of a changed life, and he says, I'm willing to do it even if I don't ever get out of prison. I'm willing to do that. I want to do that.
A three-phase program that Pastor Jerry Powell has been talking about. And he's with Living Water Bible Church in Branson, Missouri. And Pastor Powell, if people would like more information about this wonderful dream that Stephen has, how can they get more information?
Okay, I want to give two things. If I can give the address and the phone number.
Okay.
If the folks out there listening would just grab a pen or a pencil, it's Post Office Box 7127. That's Post Office Box 7127, Branson, Missouri, 65616-7127. One more time, that's Post Office Box 7127, Branson, Missouri, 65616-7127. Or you may reach us by phone. Be glad to talk with you. And maybe if God's laid on your heart, you know someone on the property, or you just know, maybe you want to write him or know how to pray for him. The area code is 417-239-0477. That's 417-239-0477.
And Pastor Powell, maybe people would like to know briefly, why did you start working with inmates?
You know, I used to, a long time ago when I was up in Kansas City, because that's where I was also raised, I had the opportunity to go into Leavenworth Penitentiary and Lansing Penitentiary. It was a ministry that I was invited to go, and every other Sunday I would go and preach their worship service. And sometimes there'd be no less than 400 men in a gathering, right there in prison. And I would begin to see men's hearts melt. I also went in prison with the idea that these men are hardened criminals, they're stereotyped, you can't reach them. But you know, I saw a lot of broken men. And I know a lot of our listening audience may identify this. I see a whole lot more people, so to speak, in a spiritual prison in churches every Sunday morning outside the prison walls. And I see a whole lot more freedom sometimes within the prison walls of those who walk with Jesus. And there was such a freshness there, and the men are so hungry. I began to work and get acquainted with Chuck Colson's ministry. In fact, I was up at one of his prisons up in Iowa, and they got, you know, a fabulous Christian prison ministry where the return rate of people who go through his Christian program, sometimes back in the prison, it's less than 5%, when state return rates sometimes are 50, 60 to 70% return rate. Well, that should tell you something in itself, you know, what really, really, really works. But when we went and began to work in this particular correctional center, and we got introduced with Stephen and several of the other of the guys there, I don't know, the compassion in the heart for a man that has never experienced a family and love in his life, and to see a man so transformed, so changed, it's like a magnet, Judy. I can't explain it, but because he lifts the name of Jesus up so high, he draws people right to him, and he's for real. He's got a pure mind, pure heart, and God laid in our hearts that we wanted to do something. To the degree that I'm now stepping aside in my church, we've been training and ordaining. We got two pastors coming in that are ordaining, and I still will remain a senior pastor, but I'm going and doing this full time. God has laid out on our heart, and the board of Stephen it's his family. We've all become the board. And we've grown together as a family, and we're working out to establish this. We want to see this happen. We don't want to see other young people end up in the life that Stephen ended up in. But praise God, Jesus reached in that prison.
A pastor in his congregation stepped out in faith, Living Water Bible Church. And if you'd like to learn more about this wonderful center that's being proposed, you can write Post Office Box 7127, Branson, Missouri, 65616-7127, or you can call 417-239-0477. Pastor Powell, thanks so much for being my guest.
Thank you, Judy. I appreciate the privilege, and you're doing a tremendous work there, and we love you here in South Missouri, and we keep encouraging you and Larry to keep doing the tremendous impact that you're having on our state.
Thank you very much, and remember, as justice cries out for help, we can stand in the gap, share the love of Jesus, and see lives change. I'm Judy Redlich, and this is Cry Justice.
This program has been produced and is supported by the Here's Help Radio Network. If you've enjoyed this program and would like to send a tax-deductible gift to keep it on this radio station, please send it to the Here's Help Radio Network, P.O. Box 473, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166. Do it today, and why not write a little note giving us your comments about this program?
Maybe you're an inmate and you have a story to tell, just like Stephen's wonderful story about how he got saved in prison. Maybe God has put a dream or a vision on your heart that you'd like to share. I want to hear from you. Maybe you're a loved one who has an inmate who is incarcerated. I want to hear from you. You can write me. Here's my email, knlc24judy@hereshelpnet.org. That's knlc24judy@hereshelpnet.org. And if you'd like to sponsor Cry Justice on this radio station, I also want to hear from you, and that snail mail address is P.O. Box 473, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166. By the way, Cry Justice at Christian Connection Combo is on 7 days a week at 6 a.m. on this radio station. And they air Cry Justice 4 times a week, Christian Connection 3 times a week. And then on WCBW 880 AM, which serves Highland St. Louis, is on Monday through Friday at 9:30 AM. And, of course, the Saturday afternoon time at 1 p.m. on all the Here's Help Network stations, but on WCBW 880 AM, serving Highland St. Louis, it's on at 11 a.m. And you can tune it in on the web every Wednesday night. To get the time in your time zone, you can look at the mainstream program guide that's on the mainstream channel at acbradio.org. And then you click on the program guide. You'll see when Cry Justice is on. And it repeats every 2 hours after the first airing on ACB Radio. And then they archive some of the shows on the web right there at acbradio.org on the mainstream channel. And to get the archives, you listen to the on-demand section and click on Cry Justice. And there we are with some of our more popular shows. Well, I'm Judy Redlich. Thanks a lot for tuning in. I'd like to remind you that Pat Robertson said several years ago that if one church adopted 11 families, there wouldn't be any poverty in our nation. What about the inmate population? If one church adopted 2 inmates, just like Jerry's church has done, would the inmate population decrease dramatically? Would people go back to jail after they got paroled? Or would people be there to lift them up and show them the love and concern that they had? Think about it. I'm Judy Redlich. Thanks for tuning in today.
This is Cry Justice. I'm Judy Redlich. Email me with your comments to knlc24judy@hereshelpnet.org. Please join me next time.